Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. I can't get enough of that. We're ready to have some fun. We're going to talk. Ted Cruz clarified on, what's it called? Ari and Andy? Is that the name of the show on Three?
I just saw the clip.
I think it's Ari and Andy. A little bit more detail around the Lane, quote-unquote Lane Kiffin rule, which is funny. He did clarify. He goes, oh, this is 100% the Lane Kiffin rule. Ted Cruz did.
Yeah.
Because they didn't name it that. They didn't name it that in the bill. Like, that's what everybody has read the rules. And, okay, well, this is the Lane Kiffin rule.
Yeah.
But he clarified some things about it, and I figured we'd talk about it and talk about the calendar and everything that goes along with it. But, Ben, the big clarification was that this rule, as far as it being enforced, is mainly on schools recruiting another coach. Okay, so there's going to be some, we don't know what the penalties are, but there's going to be penalties on essentially, let's take this season for an example. If Auburn was contacting Golish before the end of the season, Auburn stood a chance to receive penalties. So that's how they're going. That's how they're going to enforce this thing. One thing, real quick, before we like jump into it, he did not clarify if bowl games counted. The only thing he said counted was playoffs. So, like, if you're in the playoffs, you have to finish the playoffs. They did not mention bowl games. So I don't know if it's just into the regular season and playoffs or just into the regular season. And if you don't make the playoffs, you're good to go. The floor is yours.
Well, first off, they should change it to, I guess, the LSU rule, not the Lane Kiffin rule, because LSU fired their coach and recruited Kiffin to come down there. And there's so much more that takes place. So if you said penalize, I mean, I guess they got to come up with the penalties. Like, will that be it costs you games? If it's a fine, I mean, hell, these schools are paying $25 million buyouts, Kyle. That, I mean, if it's a fine and they go, oh, we're going to fine you $100,000, that's a drop.
It ain't going to be $100,000. The fine for the ghost transfer was like 20% of your budget. Like, ooh, it was insane. Yeah. So, I don't think this is going to be no slap on the wrist fine. Like, if they did fines, you're probably talking something big, like that'll hurt, I would imagine.
If it's 20%, yeah, then that's I mean, 20% of a budget is a hefty, because you'll be paying, you know, the school will have to pay a buyout probably to get the coach, as well as then you'd have to pay the fine on top of it. I mean, you're talking north of $50 million more than likely before it's all said and done with. So that would, if they keep the fine stiff and steep like that, then but again,
loss of scholarships. I mean, you could run the whole gamut of things, like loss of scholarships, huge fine, suspension of the coach, new coach for like a percentage of time, like of the season. Like, there's some things they could do to make it hurt. And if it's actually enforceable, I mean, it could be, you know, it could sting a bit.
They're going to have to make it hurt, because if the coach, if nothing happens to the coach, if it's just going to be on the university that's recruiting the coach, he won't care. He's going to get his buyout money for leaving. He's going to get his new contract, and he'll be at the place he wants to be at, making umpteen million dollars. Hold on.
You don't think he'll care if the school he's going to is about to take a huge rev share hit? He gets suspended for the season, and he could possibly lose scholarships?
No, I think he will care a little bit. But, like, if you look big picture, if that's just for 1 year, as I said, it's got to be a stiff enough penalty. Because I think that if you hit LSU with that, I still think Lane probably leaves this past year. I still think he was done with Ole Miss. I think if they say, well, if you come here, this and this and this is going to be happening.
He would have gone, but he wouldn't have gone during the season.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the whole point of it. It's not to make sure coaches don't leave ever. It's just that, hey, you got a commitment. You can't do anything until you finish your season.
How do you think they're going to be able to enforce unless somebody just rats them out, I mean, they still can touch base with one another.
I mean, how do they do it in the NFL? I don't know the answer to that. That's what I'm asking. But it doesn't ever seem like there's ever issues with coach tampering in the NFL. Can you remember the last time?
No, because they got that tampering rule. I mean, you can't do it in the NFL. I mean, they can, because the NFL's got to approve whether that coach is able to leave and take that next job. Like, they quote-unquote protect the shield. Like, Roger Goodell, they're trying to recruit Andy Reid to go coach the New York Giants, and the New York Giants are tampering with Andy Reid. The NFL can be like, he can't go.
So here's two examples. Arizona Cardinals and Jonathan Gannon, 2023. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals self-reported that GM Monty Ossenfort had a phone conversation with then-Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon in the days following the NFC Championship game. Under NFL rules, contact was not permitted during that period. Here's the penalty. The team swapped their third-round picks, mm-hmm. and Arizona sent their 2024 fifth-round pick to Philadelphia. So they self-reported it and then had penalties. And then Miami Dolphins and Sean Payton was one in 2022 where they found that the Dolphins had impermissible communications with Sean Payton while he was under contract with the Saints. Yeah. So the penalty was the Dolphins were stripped of their 2023 first-round pick and a 2024 third-round pick. And the owner was fined $1.5 million.
Ooh.
And suspended. So
the owner was
one with the Chiefs and Andy Reid. Like, so here's my question though, and it may be to you, echo your question. How do they police that?
Yeah, because I mean, one was self-reported, the other, the Sean Payton one, I remember that one. That was just a bad kept secret. And with him being under contract with the Saints at the time. And that's why they got busted there. And I mean, that's the thing with them. They're taking picks. So I guess as much as we talk about money, these universities seem to be able to come up with it from time to time. I think that scholarships is going to be the kicker that they got to do with them to say, hey, and I mean, to make it hefty too, Kyle, not,
hey, instead of 105 roster spots, you only get 95.
Exactly. I mean, take 20
for 2 years.
Yeah. Take 20 years from them, take 10 from them. And listen, that's going to hurt. Now, with that said, Kyle, with NIL, I don't give a damn if you take 10 scholarships from me. We'll just get some booster to pay them to go pay for their school.
You take the roster spot, though. Like you to where you want, you can't allow.
Okay, so you can't fill them at all. You can't even fill them.
Yeah, like I'm not saying that'll happen, but that's what I would do if I was trying to come up with a stiff penalty. No, you can't have 105 for the 2027 season. You can only have 90. You lose 15 roster spots. That'll hurt.
That will hurt. They got to do something like that to make it worth, because that hurts. When you take an NFL pick away, that hurts because they only get so many.
They only got 53 people on the team. And those first-round picks are precious as far as building.
I mean, it's even gotten to the point the first, second, and third-round picks are all precious. I mean, once you start getting into fourth and beyond, then, you know, you're talking about guys that are going to be practice squad guys, but – those first couple of rounds, you start taking second round draft, that's like taking 10 roster spots from a college football team. Because
there's another portion of the bill that I haven't told you about yet that's very, very interesting. We'll talk about that in just a second. And then we're going to talk about the calendar and how this works, because I don't think the politicians really understand the calendar.
I don't know that the regular fan understands the calendar.
Yeah. We'll jump into that in just a second. Before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to buyauburn.dadgum.com. Don't spell out dadgum. It's just .com. Be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people. When you start a process of making a purchase or looking for a service, in your mind you need to be thinking, I want to do it with an Auburn person first. Go to buyauburn.com. You can check out all of our businesses listed. And then if you're a business owner, for less than $1 a day, you can get your business on and in our registry so you can be found by other Auburn fans. And then, obviously, we got the buyauburn.com podcast that we're dropping episodes every weekend. You can take advantage of that as well. So a lot of fun. Check it out, buyauburn.com, and then definitely go to aushirts.com. I got my new Boog hat on today. So much Boog merch, baby. All kind of cool merch. I've retooled the T-shirts. I found a better T-shirt to use. Got a bunch of cool new hats, pullover. I'm sorry, hoodies, all kind of stuff. So check it out. It's aushirts.com. Ben, so not only is it coaches, though, it's coordinators. So even offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators, according to Ted Cruz, they have to finish the season. Now, he did not specify if that trickled down into position coaches, but even if you're an offensive coordinator, so if you want to go hire an up-and-coming hot shot coordinator, you got to wait till the season's done. And if they're in the playoffs, you're just out of luck. You just got to wait until the playoffs are over. What do you think about that?
I think that's one of the things that's going to prolong this. You know, before we came on, I was telling you that it's going to I don't know that it's going to make its way through everything, through Senate/House/Trump signature by fall of next year. But I think that'll be that will be kind of a hangup, because, I mean, they, you know, it's one thing to lose your head guy and your basically your CEO, but, you know, in regular business, not a lot of people blink when you start losing the part-timers that, you know, are very qualified and service your business very good, and you need them, but you can't really hold them to the same standard as you probably hold the CEO to. So,
let's use an Auburn example. Okay. DJ Durkin is primed to get a head coaching opportunity some point in time. What he's done, honestly, at the last several stops has been incredible, but what he's done at Auburn has been incredible as well. So let's say
one of the ones that thought that he would go this past year if he didn't get the Auburn job. I thought he'd bounce. I thought somebody would throw a check at him and he would go this past year.
Right. So let's say Auburn gets into the playoffs, and let's see, when is the first round? And this rule was in play.
The first round would be second week in December, isn't it? Because that first week in December is always the SEC championship game/conference championship games.
The first round will be played December 18th and December 19th.
Yeah.
Okay. So if Auburn gets into the playoff, and DJ were to have to stay at least through the first round, and Auburn gets knocked out, you miss signing day, which I don't even think is relevant anymore.
Yeah.
But you have plenty of time to, you know, get your staff together and get ready for the portal at whatever school you're going to. If Auburn advances, it gets a little bit hairier. If Auburn advances again, now you're coaching at Auburn and you're not able to be at your new school to work the portal or be prepared to go work the portal and rebuild the team that you want to go coach. So that's the part that I feel like the politicians are missing. And I don't really know a good workaround unless you just say, hey, I'm probably just not going to hire a coach from a playoff team. Like, I'm only if it's the bowl games, if you're not bound to the bowl games, you may just say, I'm just not, like, if you're in a hiring cycle, you know what I mean? Like, you're on that cycle where it's like, okay, we got to get rid of our coach. You may just have to cross off playoff coaches, head coaches or offensive or defensive coordinators as options. And then you're just picking.
The issue to that is we're about to go to 24-team playoff.
Yeah,
that's a lot easier.
That's
a lot easier to do when it was 4-team, and even, you know, still kind of easy with 12 teams, because, I mean, there's 12 head coaches, which, you know, out of that 12, some of them ain't going anywhere. But when it comes to coordinators, when they're good like that, I mean, look at Kirby. I mean, leaving Alabama to go to, you know, to go to Georgia. I mean, that was known, the Saban tree. Like, you never knew who was going to go next.
But to your point, that wouldn't have been able to happen.
No.
Until Alabama was done.
Yep.
In the championship.
Now, you and I don't know if you remember, we had the fix. because we're fixing college football, and we've moved that transfer portal to the summer, and we moved, you know, all that. Like,
that's right. So we did do that. We moved the transfer. We made it a spring transfer portal. You're right.
Yeah. So if they followed our rule, this would totally be feasible. If the NCAA would move the portal to the time you and I suggested,
which is the same thing as, you know, NFL free agency.
Yes.
And then you did summer OTAs starting in like June.
So again, this goes to that caveat of when these politicians get together, because they don't understand the calendar, because that's the thing, is saying, oh, well, even the assistants can't leave until the playoffs are over. Well, as soon as the playoffs are over, the portal opens. So they don't have time to build a roster if they do that through.
Well, see,
so
here's
they may have to put in that legislation. NCAA is going to have to work with these politicians on
there.
This.
You go. There you go.
They've got to explain to these politicians, this is how our system runs. Quit looking at the NFL because it's different. You know, look at the way we're running things, which is also different. I mean, every coach hates the calendar the way it is, so it needs to be fixed anyway. But they're going to have to work side by side to come up with a solution, because
Ben, the politicians just say, figure it out? And the answer is to move the portal, because the portal seems to be the biggest hindrance here.
Yeah.
If the portal just opens, like we said, in April and runs through May or whatever for 2 months, and that's whenever kids graduate and get done with school, and then you get in and you enroll, you know, you enroll in your school and start practice in June with OTAs and stuff like that, just like the NFL, that to me doesn't that solve?
I told you, we fixed college football. They're just not listening to us. I mean, if you move that portal window, that Cruz and what's her name from Washington, the Democrat, that the bipartisan deal that they've proposed, it works. I mean, it does with the coordinators, with the assistants. You know, how far do you go down though? Did it say anything in that legislation? Does that also go coaches?
I don't know.
Position coaches and TAs, or just, I mean,
I don't know.
You got your head film guy that breaks down film, and he all of a sudden gets a move up to go somewhere else.
How is it in the NFL? Can any coach? Coach?
I hate using the NFL too as a thing, because they've got a players association. They actually have, you know, they've got a coaches association, so they're protected by their union, which college football doesn't have that yet.
It's position coaches there too in the NFL.
So
It's still fine if you just move the portal to spring.
Yes. Just that. And I don't know why that's such a big deal. I mean, I know part of it is because as soon as they get done playing, they're like, well, then the kid, if they want to transfer, they don't have to enroll in their current school, and so they can go and go somewhere else. But I mean, they're on scholarship anyway, so go ahead and let them finish school on into April and May, and then that's when you open the portal, and then they can decide where they're going then.
Makes sense to me.
It all comes down to what you and I said months ago, which was move the portal back. You're trying to do it too soon. You know, you've already done a good job of not doing the two windows. You fix that. Now you got to fix the window that's currently open, and open it a little bit later on instead of right as soon as the, you know, the championship, 6 a.m. after the championship game on a Monday night. And so, and then that all works with those guys heading out. I say all that to say this. I think what he's doing in theory is a great idea. He, in this bipartisan legislation, I think that it's got to have some sort of control. I just think there's too many variables that a politician hasn't considered, that they probably, this goes back to having Nick Saban sitting on that panel with Trump. Like, you need to go to some coaches and go, what's going to work? And again, I think that's going to push it back. And I think you won't see any of these changes till, my guess is, summer of 2028.
Ben, do you think if you could ask 10 coaches, 10 college coaches, if you could say, we're going to move the portal to spring, you don't have to do spring football, and you're able to do summer OTA starting June 1, and you ask 10 coaches, how many do you would say, I don't want any part of that. That's awful.
Oh, one, and that'd just be because he's probably stuck in his ways out of 10.
It feels like a no-brainer, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it should be 10 out of 10, but you may run across one coach that is just stuck in his ways and likes what they're currently doing. But if you gave a coach the – every coach in the Southeastern Conference has talked about that. They would much rather have OTAs.
And the cool thing is, like, you can say – if you're worried about high school recruiting, like, you just sink that first class. Like, first of all, signing day is stupid because you can sign. I can sign with Auburn. I can enroll with Auburn, go through bowl practices or whatever if Auburn ever makes it to a bowl again. And then I can still be in Auburn all the way up through January. And when the portal opens, I can go in the portal and go to Florida, you know, like in that, what, 45-day span or 60-day span. Like, that's – so there's no point of signing day. So if you think it's just going to doom your class, you know, if it's going to doom the class regardless, you just still got the spring portal.
Yeah. And
you still got that portal period. You got time to hire your staff. You got time to scout. You got time – tamper, whatever the heck you want to call it. You got time to do all that, and then – April 1st rolls around, boom, portal opens. You got 2 months to build your team, and then they report, and then you start the season.
Yeah. It just
makes, I think that would be fantastic.
I think it makes just so much more
sense. You'd have half of January, all of February, all of March essentially off. You're just recruiting high school, like, for the next couple of years.
Yes.
And getting ready for the portal, and then the portal opens, you build your team, and then you report June 1st, and you start practice.
Yep. And you can
limit. I'm for hire. I'm an idea guy.
I mean, it makes sense from a staffing standpoint, from a player standpoint. I mean, you and I have had that discussion because you were asking. You know, we had the fixed college football conversation, and We both kind of disagreed as far as the signing day, when it should be, because I told you I think they should just be able to sign year round. I mean, I think if a sophomore decides he wants to go to Auburn, he ought to be able to say, well, that's it, book it, I'm signing with Auburn. And, you know, I know that everybody says, well, then you're going to take advantage of kids because they're going to be locked into a contract and they have to go there. But if you're going to have these rules, these one-time transfer rules, these kids are going to have to wisen up anyway. Like, things are going to change once these new rules kick in. So I'm with you, and I'm still for the sign all year round. I don't care that there's a signing day. I think that, you know, if a kid get – like, all these things that we're talking about now, Kyle, like, you've done shows on these. This person commits, this person – just stick a piece of paper in front of them. Just let them sign it. Let's go ahead and – like, don't make it a signing day. Just go ahead and let them sign it. And that way it's –
there's no reason to sign anything, though.
No, it's not. You know, I mean, that's the thing. And I mean, there is no – they don't even call – what they call them now, financial papers. It's not even a letter of intent anymore.
No, they still sign a letter of intent, but it just doesn't – it's not – it's obsolete now.
Yeah.
Because really the only person that locks in is the school.
Yeah.
The player can do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
After the portal.
The letter of intent is basically the school saying, we're going to give you free education if you come here. That's what that is. And – And so they have got Cruz and the rest of the politicians that are, and he's making the rounds right now. Like you said, it seems that he doesn't really understand the calendar. They've got to brush up on the calendar. They need to get some coaches involved. And I know coaches hate politics, but they're going to have to get some coaches involved in this, to get some ideas. Cause you said it best. You take 10 of what we consider the good coaches in football, whether they're current or former, and you put them in a room and go, all right, guys, because you've heard some of the coaches say, if you give me a weekend in a room with these politicians, I'll fix college football.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, then give them the opportunity. Bring them in, sit them in a room for the weekend, and let's fix college football.
Yeah.
And move forward with it. Because if they keep kicking this can, because they can, Kyle, even after they come up with a plan, they're going to figure out, hey, we shouldn't have done this, and there's going to be some amendments to it at some point.
Well, there's a whole lot of posturing too. Like you can say, "Oh, this is so awful," but at the same time, like you got a crap load of money and you're bringing in a boatload of stars and you're poaching kids from everywhere and you're like, "Oh man, college football is broken," but you behind the scenes you kind of like it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cuz you got so much.
Yeah, you're embracing the chaos. Like
Yeah. So there's a bit of that in play too. So that's why the politicians may just have to say, these are the rules, and then y'all figure out everything. The NCAA, y'all figure out everything, how to make it work and how to make the calendar work.
That would have been the proper response when they were trying to walk him through the calendar cruise. His proper response would have been like, we're going to make the rules. You figure everything else out. Yeah. I don't care about your calendar.
Y'all figured the calendar out. The NFL did.
Yeah. Everybody, you know, other NBA, NFL, like it's like you and I've said before, it's not like they don't have an example to go by. I mean, it's out there for them to use. So let's not all play stupid and go, well, I don't like this. We're going to have to fix this. There's already a plan in place that's working. Yep. It's literally the most watched television in America.
Biggest brand in the world, just about.
Yeah. They call it the shield for a reason. Like everybody knows what it is. So use it, fix it, and let's move on.
Big weekend for Auburn, man.
Oh,
you got huge recruiting. You got baseball regionals. You got golf national title.
Yep.
When do they show golf coverage? When
not will till, we at? Well, not till Monday and Tuesday. They don't start till it gets match play. So we won't be able to see any of the stroke play.
Not even on like the ESPN app.
Well, you can on golfchannel.com. You can go, you can watch it online. They will have it online.
I want to see if there's actual TV schedule. So it says how to watch the NCAA men's national title Friday, 3:30 to 10:30, round one stroke play. Okay. On the Golf Channel.
On Golf Channel or golfchannel.com?
It says Golf Channel live stream.
Yeah. It's the golfchannel.com.
Still, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because we play this afternoon.
Yeah. TV coverage is always match play when they get
Saturday. It says also same time GC live stream.
Yeah.
Sunday GC live stream. Golf Channel. Oh, okay. So here you go. So Monday is for the first time it actually comes on TV. You're right. And it's 5:30 to 9:30. The final round of stroke play is going to be on the Golf Channel. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, when it gets to match play, if Auburn makes it, I think pretty much the morning, the early matches will be on the live stream, and then the late matches will be on the Golf Channel.
Yep. That's one of the best things. I'll give them credit that they did. I don't know if you remember, but they used to play the golf championships at Oklahoma State. Well, it wasn't Oklahoma State's home course, but it was played in Stillwater.
Was it every year, or was it just – did they just get awarded it?
Yeah, it was every year for a few years there. And when they moved it to Carlsbad, both the men and the women, so you get that West Coast time, so we can watch primetime golf, that's freaking awesome.
Buckle up, Auburn fans.
I hate that Auburn has to travel all the way out there, but I still think
everybody else does too.
I think, yeah, exactly. I mean, the only ones on the women's side, the West Coast teams didn't have to go very far, and that's who won it on the women's side. It was between USC and Stanford. Stanford ended up winning the women's side of it, so they were West Coast teams. But a lot of the men's golf teams will come from the Southeastern Conference, and I think it's going to be fun to watch. So
exactly.
Jackson exactly. And the guys are able to put the best foot forward. But you got regionals this weekend too, which is not a gimme. I mean, against Milwaukee later on today, and then winner of that takes on the winner of UCF and NC State. So we could be playing baseball all the way into Monday.
I hope we're done Sunday.
I hope we're done Sunday too. I hope
unless it's weather related, I still hope we're done Sunday.
I hope it's 3-0, move on, get ready for Super Regionals next week.
Sweep the series and let's roll, baby.
Yes.
Guys, y'all have a great weekend. Barncast at noon. Well, no, I'm sorry. When you're listening to this, it's afternoons. So thanks the first game.
Barncast earlier today. Appreciate that.
When you're listening to this, we've already played the first game. So how about that? So we're looking towards game two, and hopefully we won. Y'all take care. We'll talk again soon. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.